I'd like to talk to you this evening about chance. I hope this morning we was able to solidify in our minds a little bit more of how stable it is to have an experience of salvation with the Lord. And we can have a testimony, one of confidence, one that we know we're different, we've been changed. We can have a confidence where our heart does not condemn us. We can have that kind of experience. And we know that we can look in the scriptures and realize that God is not allowing anything to come our way that its goal is to destroy us. Now, the devil would like to, but he has allowed some things to come to us that's very difficult. But he knows, he says to us that all things work together for good. And it's contingent on us having a relationship with the Lord. But it's something that's secure, and it's something we can build on. The enemy wants to try to plant this idea of chance. By chance, God might have mercy on you. By chance, you might make it into heaven. I believe, like Brother Sammons used to tell us, we can have an experience that we know that everything is clear between us and the Lord. I want us to build on that concept. I want us to get rid of the probably maybe hope so mentality, the chance. I want us to get rid of that with the help of the Lord. And I want us to move forward with a level of confidence that we know in whom we have believed. And we know that we can trust Him with our soul and with our future, with our dreams and our aspirations and all those things. So I would like to look, beginning in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a common scripture to say that there is no chance in this world. It would be an untrue statement. So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I believe it's verse 11, is what we want to look at. Maybe we'll start verse 7. He says, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment," or be encouraged. He says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun." The Lord intends for us to benefit emotionally from our relationship and our marriage, and also from our work that we are engaged in. He intends for it to be a level of satisfaction and encouragement to us. He said in verse 10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." He says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches of men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." He's talking about, I believe, primarily our temporal endeavors and activities. And he says, he began to observe that under the sun, in the literal life that we live, that the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, yet the bread neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. There are many chance opportunities in life, in our everyday life. Anita read something this afternoon. I can't remember just when it was, today or yesterday. Somebody had picked up a free piece of furniture, like a couch or a divan or something. Somebody had set it out by the side of the road, and they picked it up because somebody just giving it away, and they took it home and probably was cleaning it up and maybe took the cushions apart to wash the covers or something like that. I don't know, but they found $36,000 worth of cash in one of the cushions. So the people did the honorable thing. They contacted the family and said, hey, there was a lot of money in one of those cushions, you know. And anyway, that was a chance, wasn't it? There's chances that happen. You know, there's times that I think of some chances that happened and has happened in my life, some of them that maybe I've been able to capitalize on and been beneficial to me, and other times I've not. I look back and say, that was my opportunity, but it was a chance that came. It didn't come to me because of who I was or anything. It just happened. He says here that time and chance happen to, whether somebody is has an experience of salvation, whether they have any moral integrity of honesty or not, it's a chance that you would pick up a mattress on the side of their curb or a couch or something like that and find a big pile of cash hidden. It's a chance. We deal with a lot of things that are not, you know, I'm here to tell you that you can check your fluid levels in your automobile and check your tire pressure, and you can go over it with a fine-tooth comb. You can be an expert at maintenance, and you can still have something that comes unraveled on you. It's happened. I will tell you that it will happen less because you took the time to maybe torque your lug nuts and check your coolant level and all. You'll be less apt to have a breakdown, but there's still a chance things can fail just because there's a chance out there. And we do a lot of things to minimize the impact of chance in our life. The reality is that just because chance happens doesn't mean that we have to feel like that's the only thing that rules in life. Let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter, and notice the story or the parable of the Good Samaritan. We look in Luke chapter 10, and we'll begin here down towards the end or middle of the chapter, about verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So beat this fella up pretty bad, and it was a chance. This fella just happened to be on the way between Jerusalem to Jericho. In my understanding of this time in history, if you read Josephus very much, you'll find out that this kind of thing was not a unique I can't believe it happened. This is something that happened on a regular basis. So a person that traveled alone was taking a chance of being apprehended by some bandits, I guess you would say, and having an experience like this. And it says here in verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? The Samaritan, the parable is, the title is the Good Samaritan, and the Samaritan made a choice that the others didn't make. All of them, it was a chance that they came in contact with this man that the bandits had taken advantage of. And this chance posed an opportunity for someone to do good. We'll have chances like that, that just happens. We just happen to be at the right place at the right time, so to speak, and someone can use our assistance, and we do our best to help them and be a blessing to them, or whatever the situation may be. Somebody can say, can you help me with something? And there's times that I can and there's times that I can't. But there's a chance that we can be a benefit. And the priest didn't necessarily, maybe he didn't go down that way every day, but maybe the Levi didn't either, but there was this chance that day and they had that opportunity. Have you ever thought of how people in our society, all along through time, but people in our society begin to depend on chance? Now, as I said earlier, and I would venture that all of us here make efforts. Some of you may make more efforts than others, but all of us make efforts to minimize the chance of failure, don't you? I do. Just in case, you know, I've been getting up and going to work every morning during the week for quite a while now. Several decades I've been getting up and going to work Monday through Friday. But there's a chance that I won't wake up in the morning at the right time. You know, I can set my alarm, whatever I choose to get up in the morning, I can set my alarm at a quarter till 6 or 6:30 or whatever time it is that I decide I need to get up and to get around for my day. And I don't have to adjust my alarm, but maybe 2 or 3 days, and I'll start waking up at 6:29. Or 5:44. And I know I wake up and it's like, there's something happening here. I wake up and I roll over and look at the clock. Well, it's 5:44. The alarm's going to go off here in 1 minute. That's just the way my body works. But there's a chance that I won't. So you know what I do? I set an alarm. There's a chance I won't wake up. So I don't want to be susceptible to failure, so I set an alarm. Maybe you set several alarms. And the reason you do that is so you don't have to deal with the chance of sleeping in, missing your appointment, your obligation. Why is it that people live their life without taking any precaution about their spiritual man and treat it like it's just a chance? It's so random that there's nothing I can do. Have you ever thought about that? People go through life like, who can tell? It doesn't seem to matter whether you, in people's minds, whether how much effort you put in. They just don't know. It seems like they don't have a concept that we can have a testimony that really is our testimony. One of, we know we've been delivered. We know we can meet God's expectation. They look at it like it's just a random luck of the draw. You know why I think that's such a popular thing today? It's promoted. It's encouraged. I know you have. We are inundated, and I feel like oppressed with so many casinos in this area. The little old towns that were nothing but a blink in the road 20 years ago are now have fancy new police cars and all of that because they got a casino in town. You ever drove through Wyandotte over there by Twin Bridges now? Man, they've got nice police cars and probably fire trucks and all kinds of stuff because they got a casino, and that used to be just a little old bitty speck on the side of the road. And you can drive by there, whether it's Tuesday night or Saturday night, they got a parking lot as big as Sam's, and it's full of people thinking, well, there's a chance. There's a chance. I'm going to go in there. There's no assurance. I can tell you here tonight that I believe with all of my heart that you can have a no-so experience of salvation, and those people, they don't have any assurance at all. They could have lost thousands of dollars over there, and some of them probably have, over the course of the last 30 days or 90 days, and there they go again. There's a chance. It's just the odds have to be that I'm going to win sooner or later. If I keep putting quarters in or dollars or $100 or whatever it is, if I keep feeding that into this chance machine, sooner or later, something's going to turn my way, and people just keep going. And some never win. They never get out. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter. And notice a story here. The Philistines had something in their possession that wasn't being a blessing to them. They had the ark. I want to start reading in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 6. It says, and the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months, and the Philistines called for the priest and the diviner, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to its place. And they said, if we send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why this hand is not removed from you. Then said they, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden emeralds and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emeralds and images of your mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand off you, and from off your gods, and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? Now therefore make a new cart, and take 2 milk kine, on which they have come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which ye return him for a trespass offering, in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away, that it may go. And see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Bethshemesh. Then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. So, you remember the story before this, what had been going on? They had took the Ark of the Covenant in battle because it had been very unwisely taken out to the battlefield because they thought that would help. The Israelites thought it would help them. And they took the Ark out there, and the Philistines had captured it, and they took it and put it in their temple where their gods were, and their gods were falling over and breaking in front of it. You remember that? And they were trying, their gods were trying to bow down, I think, to the God of heaven, and they fell over, and they'd send him back up, and the next day he'd be fell over and broke this time. So they realized that they needed to get the Ark out of there. You know, they were suspicious. That's the reason that their gods were falling over. But how did they live? They lived by chance. They're like the people going to the casino. They're like the people that don't have this confident knowledge that I can have an experience with the Lord that is stable, that's secure. It's just random chance. Let's build a cart. Let's hook up a couple cows to it, milk cows, and take their calves away from them. And let's set this up and do an experiment here. And if they go one way, we'll know that, it was just a chance. It was just a random thing that their God fell over in front of this ark. But, you know, we're just experimenting here. I want us to realize that that's the enemy. The enemy wants you to think that living for God and trying to meet God's expectations is just a chance. It's just an experiment. He wants you to marginalize the testimony that you can have. He wants you to buy into a philosophy that says it's just a game of odds. It's just a random thing. We don't know whether or not what I'm doing is acceptable in God's sight or not. I believe that's a lie of the enemy. Just like he wants people to continually dump their resources into a chance machine out there. I remember years ago, my parents were subscribers to Reader's Digest. And we had Reader's Digest coming to our home for a number of years. It's not now because I didn't, I'm not condemning nor promoting them. It got to a point that I didn't feel like that I could approve of the things it seemed to be promoting. So we canceled that subscription. But for years, Reader's Digest had something called a Reader's Digest sweepstakes. And I don't know if any of you ever looked on that. But there were, down at the bottom in the really, really fine print, and when I was young, I needed a magnifying glass to read it. They published the odds of you winning the, whatever it was, I can't remember the amount, of the Reader's Digest sweepstake if you entered. If you entered, it told you what the odds were. And you remember, you ever look at that number and wonder where they come up with that? That number back then was the population of the United States. So there was one chance, and I don't even remember. It's been a long time ago, and it seemed like the population of the United States was somewhere around 2.5 million people. No, or billion. I don't remember. I don't remember what the number was now. 200 million? I'm speaking off the cuff, so I'll just be quiet. Whatever it was one. Your chance of winning was one in the entire population of the United States. That's not very good odds, is it? It's not a very good chance. What if you said, well, you know, what's the odds of you making it to heaven? You know what the devil would like to say? Well, there's 144,000 somewheres that's going, but my, the earth's been around for, if you listen to the people that want to promote evolution, my, the world's been around a long time. My, and those ancestors of humanity, did they have souls or not? I mean, you can really start getting some random thoughts here, can't you? But let's take it from the Bible, and you know, the world's been around 6,000 plus years, maybe 7 now, I don't know. It's getting relatively old. There's been a lot of people walk the face of this earth. And man, if you spread, you know, if that 140, please don't go quoting me as that's all that's going to heaven, because that's not a true statement. But you know, the devil would like to come along and play with our minds and say, what's the odds? What's the odds? I'm going to tell you, chance is something, it's a reality, but a chance that we have, there is always a contingency of whether it turns out for good or not for us. We have an opportunity to do good. And I want to tell you, it is not a chance for us to get to heaven. Everybody that gets there is going to get there because they intended to go. It's not going to be a drawing. It's not going to be, well, ever so many ones, it gets to come in. That's not the way it is. Every one of us here tonight can have a testimony that we know our name is clear with the Lord. We can all have that. It's not a game of chance. The enemy likes to make you think it is. These people here, they're gods, just like the gods of the world today. They live by chance. They didn't know. Their God didn't speak to them. It was just a random idea. Maybe it's just a chance that happened to us. We don't know. You know, when you're dealing with God, our God, the real God, the true God, the God of creation, we can seek Him and He'll give us an answer. I really believe He'll give us an answer. He gave Gideon an answer, didn't He? He gave David answers multiple times. Lord, shall I go up? Listen to a message from Guthrie this afternoon while I was doing some things, and the minister there referenced a scripture where one time David asked the Lord, shall I go up for battle against the Philistines? And the Lord said, go. And the next time he asked him, he didn't just assume that it was okay to go whoop on the Philistines. He went and asked the Lord, Lord, shall I go or not? And he said, don't go. He said, you go around this other way and you wait until you hear the sound in the top of the mulberry trees. And then you go and I'll go with you. But that's not a chance. That wasn't a chance. That was following instructions. And the scripture teaches us to listen for a still small voice that says, this is the way, walk in. He doesn't say, well, just do the best you can and the odds are you'll make it. That's not the way it is with the Lord. He says, study to shew yourself approved. This is not a chance machine. The enemy wants to tell you, that's probably, if he can ever get you to think, well, this is just like playing the lottery. This is just like putting money in the slot machine. This is just like something else that's just a random chance. But in reality, it's not. It's something that we can have a confidence, a no-so experience with the Lord. I want us, it seems like I dwell on these kind of things a lot, but I want us to have the confidence that we can have an experience that's solid, that's stable. We can build on it. We can add to it. We can anchor to it. We can tie off on it, if you want to think of it that way. It's something that will be a stability to us all through our life. It'll take us all the way to the end, and it won't leave us. I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful. By the grace of God, I don't live by chance. There are chance opportunities that happens to all of us. There's chance disasters. Sometimes we want to blame it on the devil working. You know, when we feel like that, once one tire blew out on me on our way to Guthrie, I got to looking at the other one, because I got back in after changing the flat, and it was like, why did that happen? I did the things I should have done. And I drove down a little ways. We stopped for fuel or something, and I got to looking at the other tire, and then I got back in the vehicle, and I told Anita, I said, we need to pray that we can make it there. I see now why that other tire come unraveled, and I feel like God had mercy on us, and we made it all the way. I believe the Lord will help us be able to discern the things that seem to be a chance. Lord, help us to be faithful and not allow the enemy to trick us into believing that whether we meet God's approval or not is just a chance, because I believe it's something that we can know with confidence. You pray for me.